faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Tonight on Keeping the Faith, our guest will be the Reverend Elizabeth Meyer Bolton, who is currently in Indianapolis, talking to us by telephone. Can you hear me okay, Liz?
I can hear you. Good evening, Steve.
Great. Thanks for giving us an hour of your time on a busy almost fall.
Yeah, pleasure.
We're going to be talking about the SALT Project with Elizabeth Meyer Bolton. But before we do that, we've just heard our usual introduction of the jazz tenor sax player John Ellis playing his own composition or improvisation, whatever jazz players call them. This is his one that we've been using for now 12 years on this program. It's called Grace. We often get questions about who the soloist is and what he's playing. And I thought that might be a good lead-in to another short musical number that's a traditional hymn with a new second verse. It's called Amazing Grace, and it's from the CD Big and Small by the Butterfly Fish Band. Let's listen to that just for a second.
I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. On the first morning of the week, with jars of sweet perfume, his precious body they did seek, but empty was the tomb. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
So, Amazing Grace by Butterfly Fish. Liz, tell us how that group came together and who's in it.
Butterfly Fish is a section of the SALT Project. It's sort of our musical arm. We call it sort of family band, a family music for small ages or all ages with a SM in front of it. It's my husband, myself, and a friend of ours in Boston. We all had kids at the same time. We were desperate to find spiritual music, Christian music, that fit with us, sort of fit with our ear and fit with our minds and fit with our hearts, fit with us theologically, and it was a stretch to find. And so we started to create our own music for our children to give them the sort of brightest and the best from our tradition. And we developed Butterfly Fish, butterflies and fish being two of the sort of ancient, beautiful symbols of Christianity. And we sing some traditional music and some original music and some, you know, dust off some old hymns and make them all shiny and new. And that Amazing Grace, that's a sort of traditional shape note version where the tenor is carrying the melody. And I actually penned that second verse in there, just amazed by those women who wake up early and run to Jesus with their spices and their ointments, and how that fits in with just the beauty of grace.
Well, I'll confess that I had read the fine print on the CD that I was very happy to have bought for my grandchildren, and
yes.
then I ended up not being able to give it up, and I had to buy them another one. So
yes, yes. Well, thank you.
But I had noticed you had written that second verse,
yes,
which I found delightful. Again, that's Butterfly Fish. And this one is called Big and Small. Now, that was your second of the two CDs?
It's actually called Great and Small.
Great and Small, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so to remember that you are great and remember that you're small all the time. And that is our second CD. The first one is called Ladybug. And I would say my husband, who is a sort of Renaissance man, is responsible for a lot of the original music on that CD.
Well, if we have time in the second half of our show, we'll get back to another one from your earlier ladybug from butterfly fish. But let's talk about Salt Project. That's the advertised topic for today. And I just couldn't resist surprising you a little bit by playing a cut from that because I found them so delightful. What is the Salt Project? How did it get started?
Well, we are a not-for-profit project dedicated to reclaiming and sharing the beauty of Christianity. I grew up in more of an evangelical, fundamentalist Christian tradition, which I enjoyed immensely, and then our family made a change into more of a mainline congregation and really ached for what evangelicals do well with their multimedia, really sort of sharing the message of their beliefs in a very beautiful way that has a lot of cultural significance. And in the mainline tradition that I'm ordained in and my husband's ordained in, there is just a sort of dearth of beauty or multimedia resources that engage and are vibrant and are beautiful. So it's sort of the same story as the butterfly fish story. I was pastoring a new church start and then on staff at Old South Church in Boston, one of the oldest churches in the Commonwealth, and just had such a hard time finding beautiful resources that fit with our hearts and heads. And so we decided to just sort of strike out and start our own line of artisanal Christian resources. And we just put it under the name Salt, thinking of Matthew 5. I think it's Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? And so we're just trying to season a little our tradition and some of the rich, wonderful theological ideas inside of our tradition. And we're doing it through music and film and photography and poetry and idea sharing and resource sharing. So that's sort of how it started, just looking for resources and not being able to find them, and so trying to create our own.
Now, you've produced some DVDs, I think four so far. I've seen the first three of them. One is called Bless, one is called Baptism, Resurrection, and the last that I've not seen, I think is called Creation.
We have Creation. We also have one sort of in post-production called Mountains, which is very exciting. I don't know if you're familiar with Rob Bell up there in Grand. I guess he was in Grand Rapids. He's since moved to California. But he has this DVD series called the Numa Series, which are these just beautiful 7, 8, 9 minute short films that a house church or a small group in a home, they get together for a potluck, they check in with one another, they pop in one of these DVDs. They have this sort of fantastic, rich aesthetic and theological experience, and then there's a little sort of study guide inside there that just is a conversation creator. So we were looking for something like that in a more of a mainline theological perspective.
Is it fair to say a more progressive?
Yeah, progressive, okay. A progressive perspective.
But something that would appeal to young people of today, to the youth of today.
Right. Sure. That's right. We have something in the sort of mainline progressive church called Living the Questions, which is a DVD series, but it's not beautiful. It doesn't have high production values. It doesn't sort of take your breath away and sort of you don't have that experience of beauty or that amazing grace. It doesn't sort of wash over you. So we tried our hand. Our neighbor in Boston. We just relocated from Boston. She's a film producer in New York City and Boston, and she has all the creative contacts. And, you know, they make the Subaru commercials and McDonald's commercials. She's responsible for, you know, those Ocean Spray commercials where the two guys are in the bog of cranberries. Like, she's in this very beautiful high-end commercial world, and she's gathering all this talent, and we're creating movies that try to give an experience of grace and beauty, and just trying to think of the big themes of our tradition, like baptism and resurrection and blessing and creation and struggle and suffering and delight, and just trying to capture them with film and just to create conversation and to give local pastors some resources at their fingertips, because they work hard producing week after week, and they're trying to get small groups up and running, and so can they just have something, some resources at their fingertips that they can give to small groups starting up. So that's sort of the genesis of the project.
Talking with Elizabeth Meyer Bolton, I might spell her names for you. Meyer is M-Y-E-R, Bolton, B-O-U-L-T-O-N, and incidentally you can see some wonderful YouTubes of Elizabeth Meyer Bolton by just putting her name in, Reverend Liz Meyer Bolton, and can see some of her, hear some of her thoughts and see some of her emotions. Saltproject.org is where you can find more information about these DVDs. If you're interested in the CDs that you heard a bit of earlier from Butterfly Fish, go to butterflyfishband.com. I'd like to play a little bit of a segment from the first of the Salt Project DVDs. Now, of course, here on radio, we're not going to see what has been produced visually. But I think we'll get some idea from just the sound of what these are about. So let's hear, tell us, Liz, first before we hear this cut from Bless, who is it we're hearing, whose voice are we hearing in this?
You'll be hearing the wonderful Reverend Nancy Taylor. She's the first female senior pastor since 1669 of Old South Church in Boston, in Copley Square. And her associate pastor, Reverend Quinn Caldwell, he's the other voice in there. And this was a co-production. The United Church of Christ hired Salt, and together we created this video to just infuse congregations with something they have already, which is the power to bless. Like, we do this in church, you know, every other Sunday at a baptism or a confirmation or a wedding, or blessing backpacks when everyone's going back to school. And this is just a sort of deeper way of thinking about that ancient practice of blessing. So,
let's hear a cut from the DVD Bless from the Salt Project.
Worship with us, and we'll ask you to turn towards, not away from, airstrikes and earthquakes and national elections together, because there is strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. We will stand in silence, each of us praying his or her own unspoken prayers, our blessings crossing and crisscrossing each other, winging their way across the Atlantic, across the Pacific, to hot tempers in Washington, D.C., and to the hot sands of Iraq.
Jesus did it as much and often as he could. He blessed the bread and the cup. He blessed children. He blessed the poor, the hungry, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the ones who mourn, the persecuted, the peacemakers. He blessed his disciples, and he instructed them. He instructed us. You go out there and bless others.
Bless animals.
Bless friends.
but he also warned us. Be careful what you bless, for a blessing is a bond. It's a promise and a covenant, a sending and a sign. Don't you think, don't ever think, a blessing is just words. A blessing is different. It's a peace-making, earth-shaking, dead-waking, light-creating, dark-abating act that we're talking about here.
Did you really think you could lift up your hands, extend your arms, and call down that power and not be changed?
Did you really think that you could channel that in blessing and not be chained forever to the thing you blessed? What would ever make you think that God would bless at your command and not use you to fulfill your own demand? So be careful what you bless for, and don't you think, don't ever think that you can bless and leave. Your blessing is your covenant, your sending, sign, and bond. When you lift up your hands, when you extend your arms, stretching up as if in this blessing, earth and heaven at last were one, when you call down that peace-making, earth-shaking, dead-waking, light-creating, dark-abating, source of all that loves and lives, power of God, you can be sure that you will be a part of God's plan. Blessed are the last. Blessed are the least. Blessed are the lost. Because God is sending the church. God is sending you, drenched in the Spirit, to bless and to be a blessing.
We've been listening to the Salt Project's film, DVD, called Bless. The voices we heard are of two pastors from the Old South Church in Boston, United Church of Christ denomination, Quinn Caldwell and Nancy Taylor. We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with the Reverend Liz Meyer Bolton, formerly of Boston, now of Indianapolis, who is one of the originators of the Salt Project. Let me give phone numbers where listeners may call in with comments or questions. This is a live program every Sunday night here on WILL AM 580 and heard simultaneously on 90.9 FM HD3 in Urbana. Also, of course, the program is heard online, and we may have listeners who would like to call us long distance. That number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. Local listeners in the Illinois 217 area code may punch in 333-9455. And our good technical director, Kyle Crow, will answer your call and put you in line to talk with our guest today, Reverend Liz Meyer Bolton. And again, if you'd like to order that DVD, you may go to saltproject.org. Liz, tell us a little bit about the children's voices we just heard.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had this. We're watching this online together. What you can't see, but you can hear, are this crew of children. At the end, that Nancy Taylor says once, "You are supercharged with the ability to bless." Like God has supercharged every person in both the United Church of Christ and the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, what I'm ordained in. We believe that we are a priesthood of all believers, that we're all priests, that we're all supercharged by God to do these priestly things like blessing. So we've got these crew of kids, and we asked them in preparation of creating the film what they bless on a day-to-day basis. And then at the end, there's this sort of glitter falling from the ceilings and these kids in superhero costumes. And, you know, there's a sort of, they're all drenched with these white paper cranes and these beautiful lighting. So it's really, it's something to listen to it and to hear Quinn do his peacemaking, earth-shaking, dead-waking, light-creating, dark-abating act, but then to hear it and see it at the same time. We've sort of gets to what the project is dedicated to, which is just reviving and reclaiming this beauty that we have already in the Christian tradition and just waking it up for a new generation.
And in a culture that seems to be constantly cursing, to start off with blessing.
Yes, right.
What a concept.
Right. And really, you know, it doesn't shy away from the hurt and the ache and the pain and the horror in the current world and in every civilization, but it has one foot in that and then one foot in opposition to that, in the blessing. So it's one foot in the ache of the suffering, and then we turn towards Jerusalem and not away. We turn towards the hot tempers in Washington, D.C. You know, it's something as Christians we're going to have to be called to do, no matter what side of the aisle we sit on, is turn towards our politicians and bless them and ask for the best of what they have to offer. I think it's very current right now. Would be a great resource for churches to get their hands on.
Now, a DVD comes in sort of a packet, and as part of that packet is a sort of a study guide to help people, and also an instruction on how to have a house party where one of these might be played for neighbors or friends or something as a way to share something beautiful that means something to you.
Yep, and the study guide, I don't want to scare people away from it. It's a really light touch. It's really just a conversation starter. You know, like one for that movie might be, have you ever felt as if you were a conduit for God's love and mercy and blessing? Or have you ever blessed anything inside of church or outside of church? You know, you take your new grandbaby in your hand and you just say a quiet prayer of blessing, and it's not grand and it's not a baptismal affair, but it's just a quiet, intimate blessing. And then at that moment, you are a priest, you know, and you are, you know, transmitting this blessing, this grace on that little new person. So it's just to open up questions like that and draw people's attention to they're doing this already.
Who are some of the people besides those you've already mentioned who have been involved in this project, and where did the money come from to do something with such high production values?
Right. Well, my neighbor is Maria Sheehan. She has been executive producer at this company called Red Tree in Boston and New York City. She's out into the freelance world now, and she just has all the creative contacts at her fingertips. My husband and I are sort of two peas in a pod working on this. Maria's husband, Lance, is a graphic designer extraordinaire, and he's done all the packaging and the study guides for us, as well as our sort of online presence on our blog on thesaltproject.org. And then, you know, it's a great question about the production value, because you know why it doesn't exist in churches, because it's expensive to light a space and for the sound quality and then to score something. You know, all of these movies have an original score to them. So we got some funding from the Lilly Endowment to sort of get this pilot project up off the ground, and then the Carpenter Foundation helped us get the films made, and we held a retreat, a SALT retreat, our first ever at Andover Newton Theological School in Boston. And I think we had about 85 clergy and lay people there, and it was like heaven came down to earth just to be together and to sing together and to watch our films together and to learn about what pastors need and to be able to set the table and feast together on beauty and share resources. So you know, we're just getting up and running, but we're feeling great about the need it's meeting as far as clergy needing resources, and just how it's being received at house parties or for small group gatherings during Advent or Lent. Just that from a lay person's perspective, it's really feeding them as well. So we're feeling positive about fall.
Now you're just starting this up. You've got four or five almost finished. We've talked a little bit about how people could find out more about it, but how much do they cost if a congregation wants to just get one to try it or get the whole series that have been produced so far? What's the expense?
Yeah, well, we Bless is a little bit of an anomaly because we partnered up with the United Church of Christ to do that one. So that one we have on for $9.99. And then Resurrection and Baptism we have on for $19.99, I believe. But we also have a downloadable version. So if you have a sort of savvy church culture or you have a sort of a smart room or something, you can do the downloadable version, which is offered on the little store tag on our website.
And do you remember how much the download would cost?
I think it's $9.99.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
Several ways people can access this material. Let me just mention that right after our middle of the program break, we will be playing a whole 10-minute segment of Resurrection. And we have permission from Elizabeth to do this, and you're going to be able to hear the whole sound of one of these DVDs, the third one in the series so far. So those of you who particularly would like to get the whole sweep of it, we'll have that opportunity. And this is one that Liz herself is the spokesperson in the video. And I'm sorry you won't be able to see her expression and her hand movements and all the things that are added in visually, but we'll be able to hear that just after the middle part of this program. Again, let me reintroduce our guest. We're talking with the Reverend Elizabeth Meyer Bolton, M-Y-E-R. Last name Boulton, from the SALT Project, saltproject.org. She's also one of the singing voices in Butterfly Fish. You can go to butterflyfishband.com to learn more about those CDs. Entrancing songs, many of them written by her husband, Matthew Meyer Bolton, and who's the president of Disciples of Christ Seminary in Indianapolis, Christian Theological Seminary. I guess we're close enough to our halfway point. Let me just take a break now. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Next week, when I'll be traveling out and perhaps playing some butterfly fish for my grandchildren, guest host Stan Yankus will be here in the studio talking with two guests from Eastern Illinois University, two Muslim guests who are Palestinian refugees. They're going to be talking about their experiences on the air. That's Fatima Sewal and her adult daughter, Nidal El-Muti. That's coming up September 2nd here on Keeping the Faith on WILL AM and 90.9 FM HD3. On September 9, I'll be occupied. Otherwise, I'll be giving a talk on UVI campus, so I will not be able to be here that Sunday either. But Don Nolan, a frequent guest host, will be here talking with Christine Katanzarite. Chris is the director of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute here at the University of Illinois, one of over 100 such institutes at campuses around the country that help people past 50, people who are retired, keep their minds active with all sorts of wonderful programs. So Don will be talking with Chris Katanzarite from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute on the 9th of September. Coming up later in September, we have one program in September 23 called Changes in Amish Life, particularly Illinois Amish life. Dan Otto will be our guest talking about some of his friends and relatives here in the Amish communities and how things have changed as they've had to encounter high-tech life. That's on the 23rd of September. And then as part of a sort of a small series, we'll be talking about the Amish again October 7th with Wilmer Otto about the Amish relation with the U.S. government. Two interesting programs about the local Amish. Those are some of the programs up ahead on Keeping the Faith here on WILL. Let me thank all the volunteers who are helpful to the University YMCA here at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign for their great dump and run sale these last 2 days. Thousands of new students, particularly international students, were delighted with the things to set up apartments and their dorm rooms that they were able to find very inexpensively at the Y. These are things the Y collected over the summer and last spring from students who were moving out, and things that would have filled the trash instead were recycled and saved over the summer and offered for sale very inexpensively to new students and others in the area. The two-day sale is over now, but the few things that were left have been passed on to Habitat for Humanity and other charities in the local community. I was personally involved driving one of the trucks, delivering couches and sofas and all kinds of kitchen goods to Orchard Downs and other places where international students live, and it was very heartwarming to see things much appreciated that might have just been thrown away. So thanks to all the volunteers that made that help, that made that possible back in the spring during collecting over the summer, and for that huge sale in the University of Illinois Stock Pavilion the last 2 days. Thanks also particularly to the Department of Animal Science for making the Stock Pavilion available for this again this year. Well, let's get back to our guest, Elizabeth Meyer Bolton. And Liz, let's hear your voice on the next DVD. We're hearing the audio portion, of course. This is from the SALT Project, and this is called Resurrection.
Loneliness, war, addiction. Depression. Hate, violence. Death. It's hard to know what to say about the cross that Jesus carried, the cross that we all carry sometimes. It's hard to know what to say. Sometimes I think we should just be silent. If you go to church on Good Friday, this is what will happen. You'll sing a few songs, and then they'll read scripture. They'll read the passion narrative, the heart of the very heart of everything. And they'll pray, and they'll sing a little more, and then the pastor will lift up his hands and give a benediction. But sometimes, I think we should just be silent. Sometimes I think we should just be as silent as that man at the bedside of his love who is dying hard. A friend of mine got pregnant 7 months, 8 months. She got big and fat and round, and the nursery was decorated, and the little clothes were folded and tucked into the drawer. She went right to her due date, and the cord detached. That's what they said, the cord
detached, but here's what happened. All of her hope and all of her dreams and all of her joy died inside of her body. What are you supposed to say about that? Sometimes I think you should just be silent. A young man went to Rwanda with his youth group. They went to this little town to visit with the people there. 15 years ago, violence erupted in that town. It started in the marketplace. And the women and the children ran for cover into the church. They thought they would be safe there. They thought they would find sanctuary in that church. But the soldiers got in. They broke down the door and they killed them, 4,000 people. And now that church is a memorial. And those people's clothes are there, and they're in piles and piles and piles and piles and piles of clothes, and clothes hanging from the rafters. And this young man has a picture of this, and he carries it around in his pocket because he does not want to forget those clothes. But what are you supposed to say in the presence of that cross, in the presence of that picture? Maybe you should just be silent. You know the story. They spit on him and they mocked him. And they stripped him naked in front of everyone. It was the worst way for a Jew to die, because in their tradition, as in ours, the body is holy. Created in the image of God, it is to be treated tenderly. He died on a cross. His friends abandoned him and betrayed him. And he was laying there, and he said to God, "Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me alone?" And then he breathed his last. What are you supposed to say about something like that? I suppose you could say, "Thanks be to God for coming into the world so we don't have to be alone." I suppose you could say, "Thanks be to God for not cleaning everything up, for not pretending that everything is just fine." I suppose you could say, "Thanks be to God for coming right into the brokenness, for meeting us there, for whispering in our ears, 'You don't have to do this alone.'"
Thanks be to God for coming into the world to suffer and die so that we don't have to suffer and die alone.
I can say that, but here's what the Gospels say. They say it was early in the morning, on the first day of the week, before the sun had even come up yet. The women woke up early and they armed themselves with spices and perfumes. They were going to bathe him and to treat his body tenderly and to give him a proper burial. And as they were walking towards the tomb, they said to themselves, "Which one of us will roll away the stone? Who is going to roll away that big stone?"
God rolled it away.
God rolled it away.
God rolled it away.
God rolled it away.
And there was an angel there, dressed all in white, clothes like lightning, the scripture says. And the angel said to those women, "Don't be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth." You have come here looking for the one who suffered, the suffering servant. You have come looking for a broken down body. It is not here. This is good news. That tomb does not win. That violence, that hate that led to his death, that does not win. Good Friday does not win. Giving birth to death, that does not have the final word. Clothes on the floor in piles. Clothes hanging from the rafters of a church where people are supposed to be praying and singing and giving thanks to a living God. That does not, that will not have the final word. We may fall silent, and that's okay. But God will never fall silent. God always has another word, a living word, a word of love, a word of life, a word of justice and resurrection and hope. This is the word that we are supposed to proclaim to each other. It is a word that we are called to whisper in the ears of our children. We are called to get to a high place and to shout it from the rooftops. God has the final word. Addiction does not win. Loneliness does not win. War doesn't win. Depression, hate, violence, it does not win. Do you know what wins? Life wins.
Life wins. Love wins.
Peace wins.
God wins.
It's hard to know what to say in the presence of resurrection that is on the loose. It is hard to know what to say about this grace and tenderness. It is hard to know what to say in the presence of a good God. Sometimes I think we should just be silent.
All is well.
Worship with us.
Well, we've just heard about 10 minutes from Resurrection, part of the SALT Project's DVD series. Bless is the first, Baptism, Resurrection is the third, then Creation and Mountain are in production. These are, you can learn more about these, purchase these for use in your congregation by going to saltproject.org. Our guest today on Keeping the Faith is the one of the originators of this project, Reverend Elizabeth Meyer Bolton. Liz is in Indianapolis now. Liz, tell us where you started out.
We started out in Boston, Massachusetts.
No, I want to go back farther than that. Where did you
go back from the beginning?
Where did you grow up?
I was born in the famed Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. My dad started out as a Pentecostal pastor in the Assemblies of God, and then changed denominations and went into the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. And in that tradition, we have believers' baptism, so I was baptized in a little white dress in the Shenandoah River, in one of the bends of the Shenandoah River, with everyone in the congregation on the shore with big fluffy white towels ready to bring me back into the church.
How old were you?
I was 9 years old, which was young. It usually happens around that confirmation time, usually around 12, 13, the sort of bat mitzvah time, but we were just about to move to Ontario that year, so we got baptized before we moved to Ontario. My mom's Canadian, so then we grew up in Ontario. And then I was a global mission intern for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ and the United Church of Christ in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, where I was shattered and simultaneously put back together again and to pursue a degree in ministry. I went to the University of Chicago Divinity School there and got my Master's of Divinity, where I met my husband, who was getting his Ph.D. Then we went to Boston.
Where was your undergraduate degree?
My undergraduate degree was at Trent University, which was a very small liberal arts university.
Where?
And I did in Peterborough, Ontario, and I did a joint honors degree in English and Native Studies, which was sort of critical thinking, post-colonial theory and critical thinking and the Native peoples in North America, but mostly Canada.
And then at University of Chicago Divinity School, you were then ordained in the Disciples of Christ denomination?
That's right, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, the sort of quintessential American Protestant tradition.
And you were the organizing pastor in Boston for, was it Hope Church?
Yeah, we did. Matt and I did a new church start, duly affiliated with the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, and the United Church of Christ, called Hope Church. We got it up and running as founding pastors for 6 years. And in that time, we had two little ones, Jonah and Margaret. And I couldn't do full-time ministry and parent the way I wanted to do either one, so I pulled back professionally and came on staff at Old South Church in Boston, which is a flagship church in Boston with a lovely, rich, varied history in Boston. So it was a great to be on staff and to make a great thing even.
And when you say to be on staff, that means you're one of several pastors, some
yes,
are full-time and you were part-time.
I was a part-time associate pastor, minister for discipleship, so I was doing small group and faith formation, which was dovetailed very nicely with the SALT project. That's where it began when we were working at Old South Church.
Let's play one more shortcut from another of the Butterfly Fish CDs. Let's listen to number 6 on the one called of the Ladybug one. This one is called Music, and you're doing the lead vocal on this, and who's helping you?
I am the lead, and then Zoe Crony is the mellow alto, and my husband is the tenor on that.
And this piece is called Music. Let's hear it now.
It's called Music.
We are going to a place where music falls and fills up everything. Though it might be a long time, no one's gonna be alright, 'cause we've already started to sing. Come and go with me, we can walk to any weather. That place we're going is a beautiful song. While we're on our way, we can sing along, singing we are going to a place where music falls and fills up. Gonna be alright, 'cause we've already started to sing. And when we get there, join that choir, everybody's gonna be there, whole world on fire. can sing through the night while we're on our way. We are going to a place where music falls and fills up everything. Though it might be a long time, no, it's gonna be a place where music falls and fills up everything. Though it might be a long time, know it's gonna be alright, 'cause we've already started to sing. We are going to a place where falls and fills up everything. Though it might be a long time, no, it's gonna be alright, 'cause we've already started to sing. 'Cause we've already started to sing. Yes, we've already started.
We've just heard music from Butterfly Fish, Ladybug. Music was written by Matthew Meyer Bolton, Liz's spouse, and she was joined in singing by him and by Zoe Crony. The instrumentalists, who were so good, Zachary Hickman and Charlie Rose and Jake Armerding. Well, that was fun. Infectious.
Yes, it's one of my favorite songs, and it's sort of what Resurrection points to in Baptism and Bless. It's just this sort of, the sort of beauty of Christianity is it doesn't shy away from the pain and the suffering, and it holds it in tension with Easter Sunday and the hope, and we've already started to sing, you know, this sort of the kingdom is going to come. It's like the birds that sing in the anticipation of the dawn. You know, they know it's going to come. And I just, you know, we're just trying to bring that back, reclaim that, sort of, you know, spice it up a little. So we're talking about, you know, miscarriage in our congregations, but we're talking about them through the hope and the light of this will not have the final word. And if you think about the sort of rhythm of the Christian year, sort of the Lent and Easter, you've got 40 days of Lent, sort of preparing and almsgiving and confessing and lamenting. But then, and this is where churches fall short, you've got 50 days of Easter. It's bigger, brighter, more celebration than the lamentation. And that's really what we're trying to reclaim through these different mediums like music and video and photography. Sort of Good Friday and Easter Sunday together. And you can't read one without the other, that they're in this creative tension always.
The SALT Project tries to focus on the beauty of the Christian faith. How do you sort of plan what you're going to be doing next? Are you going to have any of these DVDs that deal with issues, for example, of interfaith conversation, of how Christianity is relating or should be relating to other faiths?
Right. Well, you know, the topics are endless, and once we get on our feet with some, you know, sales and donors and gifts and angels who want to support this sort of the creative work we're doing, really the sky's the limit. We're really, you know, tying, you know, the Bible, the psalmists do this all the time, tying beauty with grace. You know, if in the presence of beauty, you are in the presence of God's grace. And so we're committed to bringing that beauty through all the different topics that you can imagine. The ones we have on hand are creation, which is my husband as the main sort of presenter, sermonic voice, and then mine on mountain, which I got a chance. I was a global mission intern in Haiti, and got a chance to go back in February, and just shot some beautiful footage, and that's really just on. Based on that Creole proverb, after mountains, more mountains, after struggle, more struggle. And then hearkening to Isaiah where, you know, he sees the kingdom of God where the mountains are made low and the valleys are lifted up. And the reeds and the waters refreshing and all will be well. So we're just, you know, the sky's the limit for us and interfaith and, you know, touching on sort of everyday and epic struggle that everyone is facing, and then the hope of the good news of Easter Sunday.
How old are you? You're at Matt Children's now. Children now.
My son is 7 and my daughter is 5.
How do they like butterfly fish songs?
They love it. You know, they love that lemonade song. we're into school now, and we're here in the Indianapolis public school system, which has been phenomenal. Talk about a gift out of the heart of God. But they are being introduced to the likes of Justin Bieber. So they have a soft spot for our music, but they also are experimenting with other styles of music.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it at that. We are out of time. Let me thank our guest, Reverend Elizabeth Meyer Bolton, for being with us representing the SALT Project. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these programs, and I want to thank our listeners. Usually we invite listeners to call in more than we did today, but we had so many things I wanted to play that musical and otherwise that we left that a little bit aside, but next week there'll be more chance for listener interaction. I do want to thank Liz for being on the program today and talking about the SALT Project. If you'd like more information, go to saltproject.org, or for the American Roots music of Butterfly Fish, go to butterflyfishband.com. Coming up next week on Keeping the Faith, I'll be traveling, seeing my grandchildren, but Stan Yankus will be our guest host here, talking with two Palestinian refugees. That'll be September 2nd here on Keeping the Faith. Fatima Sewall and her adult daughter, Nida El-Mouti, will be our guests from Eastern Carolina University. On September 16, Don Nolan will be the guest host. I'll be elsewhere on campus that afternoon giving a talk, and he'll be talking with Christine Katanzarite, who's the director of OLLI, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. That'll be the next 2 weeks here on Keeping the Faith. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, rethinking animal intelligence, maybe how memory works, Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square in Urbana, a lifestyle center with independently owned shops of spirituality and inspiration, like the Bible Education Center, the New Life Church of Faith, and Transitions.
This is Illinois Public Media.